In Monday Night, today is October 16th, 2023. This is Across the Pitch. The Phillies are winning 3-0. Last time I checked, Jose, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing so well. Yeah, I got the game over my shoulder. I don't know how it works, mirroring. But what a start by the Phillies. Also, what an interesting international break for the Philadelphia Union, as a lot of bodies are abroad playing, but not getting any minutes. Officially. So it's a really interesting time all around.
I'm not complaining from a you know, load management standpoint. They could use a day off, you know. But Jose, in terms of just what's been going on, how has the past week been? We didn't have a show last week, so how was your past 7 days with no Across the Pitch?
It's been fine, though. I think a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes, right? I was out in Phoenix, tried to sneak into the U.S. Under 23 national camp. Wasn't able to fit it in. Just was not able to with my travel from Philadelphia to Phoenix, and then having to come back once I finally realized, oh shit, they're only 15 minutes away. I should go watch, or I should go try to talk to McGlynn. And congratulations, Nate Harriel, first U.S. national team call-up, albeit at under 23. Massive. Maybe he sneaks into that Olympic roster, but just a lot of stuff I think we have in the back working right now, Mike, with a few conversations with players and some other fun stuff that we're trying to work throughout.
Yes. So right now we are currently, saying hello to Adam Mack. He does great work for us for AAT Sports with the Phillies, with the Lehigh Valley, with the Iron Pigs, right? Is that what they're called now? He does great work with them. Follow Adam. And he also is a great guy for college football as well. Knows his stuff for sure. So, Adam, thanks for joining. Brandon as well. Hello. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have on Wednesday, right now we have all penciled in the schedule, a conversation with Rachel Gray and Ryan Bross of the Sons of Ben board. I know right now there's been a lot of talks of the Sons of Ben, changes being made for them or not to be made, and as well as the election coming up for the board. So, we're going to try to have a conversation with them on Wednesday night, pre-recorded. We'll release it Thursday or Friday and just see, you know, what if we can have a conversation with to see what we can do to grow the Sons of Ben, as well as what they've been, you know, experiencing this past couple of years. Because as you can see on that IG page, there's been some negative talk about the SOB, as well as, you know, the positive, popularity of KSU lately. I feel like everybody's supporting KSU a lot more than the megaphone guy for the Sons of Ben. So we're very excited to kind of get that started. And by the way, I'm sorry, I'm a little sick today, so if my voice sounds a little hoarse, I apologize.
No, you're good. But hey, Mike, to that point on the conversation on Wednesday, I think I just want to be super transparent with anybody who watches or listens to our stuff or follows us individually on social media. They don't realize that we are a package, including Dave. Just to be super clear that we're not here to put out a puff piece for the Sons of Ben. We actually have some pretty good questions that I think will go over well with the audience. We're not going to trash them. That's not what we're here to do, but we're here to actually understand and better figure out, okay, how did this group go from that incredible force that got a soccer team to Chester to now at a crossroads here within itself, and in terms of people who wanted to solve the whole thing apparently, and then not being willing to run for positions, etc. We're interested in figuring out how did this lead to here, what's currently happening, and how can this group do better. So again, just a long way to say we're not here to be a talking piece for them. I think us as Across the Pitch, myself, Mike, Dave, as individuals, we're not here to promote them in any way. We're here to have an actual, I hate to say real conversation, but you know what I mean. We're not, it's not an ad.
That's fair. And to be honest with you, we both benefit from their growth. And sometimes with growth, you need to have a tough conversation, ask tough questions. I'm a Sons of Ben. I've been a Sons of Ben for about six years now. I know you've been going to the tailgates recently. You've been experiencing that Sons of Ben culture. You've met a lot of them as well. So whether you just tailgate and you're not an SOB, whether you're like me who enjoys the membership packages and enjoys, you know, being part of that community, asking them the tough questions and getting their voice out there is great. Because listen, as of right now, a lot of times they're just Twitter handles. They're just Facebook commenters. They're not really people in front of you. So that's the whole point. Again, hopefully it's a great conversation. I'm really looking forward to speaking with both of them. They're really great individuals who have been very welcoming to me, especially as I've, you know, been part of tailgates and whatnot. But some not so welcoming, not so great news, Jose, has been the Union front office talk, which is kind of the point of this conversation. I know we had the New England match coming up. Jose, I know you were kind of tweeting about the New England match against Nashville. Is that correct? So what are your thoughts on the New England match first? We'll touch on that first before we get to the front office drama.
Yeah, New England did us a favor by showing up very late to the party against Nashville, right? I think by halftime, it was all by settled with two goals by Sam Surridge, their new addition. So he's picking up some steam here going into the playoffs. But yeah, that Nashville victory helped the Union quite a bit in terms of potential seeding, where it seems like the number three spot is a lot more likely due to that victory. So an interesting match altogether. I almost did the thing, right, where close to halftime, I said, listen, they're not showing up. New England's out. I don't have to worry about this watching or anything. So I just completely turned it off. To then get someone on Twitter sent me a tip of like, hey, you may want to tune in again. It's just like, oh my God, what did I just put into the environment here? So really, really interesting match that all in all benefited the Union. I don't know that there's much to really talk about outside of maybe an injury for Nashville. The young Canadian international had to come off midway through the first half, I think. Of course, Kessler for New England is involved in some way, shape, or form. Same guy. That name should ring a bell. He's the guy who threw the ball into the stands a few years back during that playoff match, I think, or just regular season match. So he seems to be involved in anything that's sort of shithousery. So don't know that we need to go much further beyond in terms of the Nashville match. It benefited us, I think, just shut the door, and that we look into whether, and I'll leave it up to you, Mike, do you want to transition to the conversation in terms to the article, or do you want to look into the match this Saturday, whatever order you want?
Well, let me put up some comments real quick, and then we'll go right back to this. So first, Pat Bernard from Edge of Philly Sports says, hello. Pat does great work over there with all the guys over there. Eric mentions hashtag pay Kai. We're going to talk about it. Don't worry, Eric, because I know that's a big topic right now. And then JD Walker, Jose, I think you've met JD before in the press box. He's with Stream Punk Entertainment. Really good pieces he puts out all the time. So JD, thanks for joining us. He said, can the SOB folks elaborate why there's so much beef between them and KSU? I've yet to hear any explanation that makes sense aside from just teenage drama. We are going to slightly talk about KSU with them. I don't know how much we're going to get in depth with that, because we also don't want to ruffle any feathers, but it's quite the topic of conversation. But yeah, Jose, in terms of the game on Saturday against New England, for me, after watching the Eagles game yesterday on the turf, I just really focus on health, to be honest with you, on Saturday. But in terms of the article, do you want to kind of talk about a little bit more?
Yeah, that one hit my inbox while I was in Phoenix. So I was 3 hours behind all of you in terms of, you know, getting more daylight. So I got invited. I wasn't able to make it. So I apologize to the PR team at the Philadelphia Union. I wasn't there for the fantasy camp media, whatever you want to call it. If you want to hear more about that event, Todd Lewis with the Free Kick Pod, Kyle Almany with the One Team We Agree On, and Jillian, who probably had to hear it nonstop from Kyle on at some point or another, because I'm sure it was awesome. I mean, the pictures and videos looked really, really cool. But that happened while a lot of media people were actually at the Union facilities when that dropped. And my understanding is that, you know, it was okay. Yeah, we expected that, which is really interesting, right? When you think about this article, and if you haven't read it, Tom Bogert and Pablo Mauder of The Athletic put out a really, really interesting article. And the timing's really interesting to me as well, in terms of Pablo having just been at the facilities maybe the day prior. So maybe he was shoring up his sources and getting the information he needed, which kudos to him and kudos to The Athletic. Hint, hint, subscribe. I'm not endorsed by them. Mike's not endorsed by them. But the work that they're putting out there, especially during this interesting time for the Union, it seems like they're really focusing on the Union, right? They were on the scene for Jim Curtin stuff, Ernst Tanner, Kai, Mbizo, et cetera. So give them a, I think that deal, was it a year for a dollar or something like that? It was unbelievable.
We've both met Tom at the stadium. Yep. You've had a more engaging conversation than me just saying hello to Tom, but he's a great guy. He's easy to talk to. So, you know,
he's funny. We're going to share a drink and a cigar when he comes to town at some point.
Makes it more enjoyable to actually support their work. Even like you said, we're not being endorsed by, we just like what they do.
So in terms of the article, Mike, what was to me most fascinating is the initial piece, right? We all know that, I like to think, based on what I'm being told and shared by others on social media, that Kai's gone, right? He's hosting going away parties with his neighbors. His wife is holding signs that say pay Kai Wagner, and I'm guessing that fans gave them to her, etc. Whatever. I mostly blocked that side of the story, which I think is the second half, actually. But the first half talked about the team making the decision to move away from Alejandro Bedoya, that he was no longer part of the plans and that he would have to seek a new team, which is interesting. Where I think I drew a really interesting piece, and I made sure to ask to tell Tom I was doing it. Listen, I'm not stealing your work. I'm just going to take this little excerpt and just put it on social media. Was that of the 22nd conversation between Tanner and Alejandro Bedoya, where Alejandro sought out Tanner and asking, what's going on? What's my role next year? What are we doing with me in my salary? And Tanner laid it out in less than 20 seconds and said, goodbye. I don't even know if there was a thank you. The article made it sound like it was a very, very harsh, you know, like I'm whistling and moving my finger for those that can't see and are listening. But I have so many emotions, unfortunately, and I wish there weren't emotions because I'm supposed to be neutral in a way. But right now with a hat fan, emotions, I think, are involved. I'd love to hear your take or if I'm missing anything, Mike.
So I love the way the Patriots have done things in the past. They're not a sentimental style organization. They view things as this is a business. We're going to make business moves. And we saw the Eagles do that with Jason Peters, where they just dragged him along. And he was just here year after year. Jason Peters was just getting nowhere on the left tackle side. So we've seen both sides of it. And at the end of the day, this is a business. These players have to understand that sentimental value isn't going to win titles. It's not going to make the team better if you cannot perform at the same level you did the year prior or, you know, the years prior. I also look at a situation like Claude Giroux, where Claude was a very I guess people were very on the fence with Claude as a captain. Now, I'm not a big hockey person, so I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about hockey. But people either love Claude or they hate Claude. And a lot of people wanted to get his captaincy stripped a long time ago, especially for with Coots coming up and all that kind of stuff. But credit to the Flyers, at least try to do things correctly. And from a PR standpoint, they try to do things correctly. For the union for Tanner to have this brief conversation and him not thinking in his head, hey, this could get leaked out. This could look really bad. Tanner's already under hot fire with the whole Wagner thing. Let's be honest. I mean, it's not a good look for the front office that they're not trying to pay the best left back in the MLS and then risk him going to Cincinnati or somewhere else. And I'm not saying you have to bring Alejandro back, but he has to come off much more professional, much more grateful. And listen, and Jose, you and I have been on Bedoya for about a year and a half now. And we always say, respectfully, Alejandro, we love everything you do. We just think that your time is starting to be more of a bench player, a role player, etc. But for Tanner to just say, see you later, buddy, like it's the complete opposite of what you should do as an organ. And that's where it gets me. If Alejandro didn't come back next year, but he said, man, they really treated me great, they made it professional, I would have been, okay, that's fine. But to do it this way isn't fair to him because he's done so much more than just captain the soccer team.
Yeah, and that's just it, Mike. And, you know, I tried my best while I was out in Arizona on crappy hotel Wi-Fi or even plugged in. I didn't realize my computer had actually an Ethernet port until I looked for it at the hotel. But I couldn't off the top of my head find once, and I know I've said it multiple times, and you're my witness, Dave's my witness. I told you guys all along that this city, this team, will have a very hard time moving away from Alejandro Bedoya. He has been, and I hate to use the word icon. It sounds like a cliche. It sounds silly, but he has been the voice of social movements in terms of his gun violence, philanthropy, with being, you know, such a generous person with his time, with his money, etc. And then finally putting up with this team for as long as it did before it started to pick up, right? While he was the heart of it, building out from the heart out, right? In terms of the spine of the, you know, he came in when Blake was here already, but
yeah,
the Glesnesses, the Kais, moving on from Medujanin and moving on from Fafa Picot, Marco Fabian, him coming and going. So it's a shame, right? If I continue to have the fan hat for a second, it's a shame that it went down that way. Where I'm interested in, and I'm hoping to dig around a little bit with people who may be sources, is, was Ali asking for anything beyond coming back just for his role as is? Or was he okay, or even offered the opportunity? Yeah,
I've heard that name in forever.
Yeah, my God, I remember when they put that social media video hyping him up, and then he was just a fart to the wind. But you know, was Bedoya offered a backseat role? Right, lose the captaincy. I would think it goes to Blake from here on out, and just come as a. Yeah, come up as a super sub in the 60th minute, which he thrived during League's Cup, if I remember correctly. Potentially, I think a couple of matches, but then injury took him away 5 or 6 matches consecutively. Then an international break ruined his getting back up to speed. Yeah. So it's a bummer, and we can wax poetic even further about what he's done for the city. But you know, I also want to play devil's advocate and think, okay, well, was he asking more than this team was willing to do for him in terms of, like, you know, Ali being sure that he could play all 9? He's like, no. See, let's not.
here's a good point that Eric brings up, and I kind of want to counter it a bit here. So Bedoya is no Ilsenio as far as a super sub. But you have to remember, though, Eric, Ilsenio was only a super sub for, what, about a year and a half? And then he started getting figured out, and he no longer became the sub. I remember actually was at the wasn't it the Shield year that Fontana had his breakout year?
I think so.
I don't think you needed Bedoya to be a super sub as much as you needed somebody who could come in for 20 minutes on occasion and just close out a match. Because he had enough in the tank to do that for 20 minutes, especially if you had like a 1-0, 2-0 lead. He could do that. And he's also, you know, a good game manager as well. And the players look up to him, you know. What Eric says, score 3 goals when we need it. That's very true as well. But the point being, Eric, I think you didn't need Bedoya to come back for more than just a substitution role. And I was also curious if they were going to offer him anything in terms of like a coaching position or a staff position. If he said, hey, I want to retire, can I then kind of move that way into like that staffing?
Honestly, Mike, even just as a club ambassador, right? Have him be the face. It seems like he and his wife love being in the city, having the connection, the Scandinavian connection with the Glesnesses, right? Let him stay in the city, continue to manage all of his investments with the Padel, I think another tech company that he just dumped some money into. Let him continue to focus on that stuff, but show up to pregame stuff as a union ambassador. Go into the city for continued relationships leading up to 2026, never mind 2024 being Copa America, and then 2025 being the Club World Cup, right? I'm guessing that Philadelphia will be involved in both as dress rehearsals for what's coming in 2026. So let Bedoya do that. So I wonder, you Mike, I think you're right. You know, that's another this conversation is so nuanced that you know, we don't have any idea what both sides were asking or willing to give. All we got was the result and how it happened.
And can I just say, so I post on Twitter. So you did the conversation with Renee Washington on Philly Sports, which you did a great job, by the way. In that, I had mentioned that the way the union treat Kai Wagner will generate opinions from other players across the league or other leagues saying that's how the union treat their best player. They don't pay him, right? And I post on Twitter, I said, hey, you know, one of the biggest mistakes the union might make is not paying Kai and it having a negative effect on free agency, etc. Mm-hmm. And people call me stupid. I had a couple of negative comments. And I felt like that was fair. And now this is, I think, even worse than the Kai Wagner situation because it's just doubling down on the way the front office views their best players / captains, right? It's, and they, because now they're going to say, okay, well, they're not only not paying their best player or one of their best players.
They're insulting them.
They're insulting one of their better players of the last few years. Excuse me. And you have to assume the morale in the clubhouse or the locker room cannot be good right now, hearing all that. I mean, you've already had Curtin kind of nudging, you know, sending out subtle nudges all season long to the front office saying they're not spending enough money. Now you have all this stuff. You could even argue the Sergio Santos stuff last year. You know, Kai was pissed about that. You know, a couple people were upset that they let Sergio go to Cincinnati, although that was a great deal on paper because Sergio could never stay healthy. So I still agree with the deal. I think they caused
and still problem. Isn't really healthy in Cincinnati.
I think it was a smart move by Tanner to get rid of Sergio. It just ruffled feathers. But then you have Burke leaving when he really didn't have to go. You could have probably brought him back. It just recently the front office has. I don't want to say make mistakes. I want to say they've done things the wrong way to this point right now. And I think those are two different things. You can do things correctly, but also do things the wrong way, if that makes at all any sense, because it doesn't seem like it does.
Well, let's think about Burke for a second, right? As we continue to think about money spent and et cetera, et cetera. My understanding was that Corey wanted a guaranteed role. I'm sure some sort of pay increase. But can you guess what he's making this year out in New York?
No. How much is he making?
$570,000.
That's it?
Exactly. Wow. So how much was he making in 2022? I can look up. But let's just think about it. He was not making that much from the Philadelphia Union. So moving to New York was what he wanted to do. Maybe, again, another conversation with Tanner that, hey, Corey, you're going to take a back seat again. You're not going to be the guy. You're not going to be him, as the kids would say nowadays.
Yeah.
So see ya. We're going to, you know, send you to New York, et cetera. Actually, was he a free agent or was he just sent over as a trade?
I thought he was a free agent. Maybe I'm wrong.
I can't remember.
It's a blur. Anyways, this whole season's been a blur.
Right. Anyway, so he ended up in New York making $571,000. So that's interesting to me in terms of like, okay, yeah, this front office is very committed to playing the money ball game, and that's fine. But when we have the head coach saying, yeah, we don't have a guy that other teams are afraid of, you know, we have a group that they're afraid of, not a specific guy, or complaining about the situation with the field because construction was too slow and they had to play on a tough surface, it's just a mess, man. It's all just seems to, thank you, Kyle, he was a free agent. So what can you do?
Hold on, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. JD brings the exact point I was just about to mention to you, Jose. The Patriot way only pays off if you win trophies, and they have not won anything besides a COVID shield, which I'm still calling it that because they beat New England 17,000 times to get to it.
That's just it, right? So it's to me, it's disappointing. I get it. I wish there was an answer to him coming back, and I know Pablo had sort of a thought of, you know, in his opinion, he's sort of earned his way to even being a bench player and never playing, just seeing out his time. Yeah. But then others knowledgeable with the way that the offices work across the league, that's expensive, especially when you have a team that operates the way that it does, that there's not a cent that can be spared. And sure, you can complain about Torres and Perea and Joe Bendick, etc., but nonetheless, it's just difficult to see a way that Alejandro Bedoya just A is okay with riding the bench and B the front office is willing to give him the money that he makes now. Right. Cause it would be probably an insult for him to say, yeah, I'll go to 200 grand. He's not doing that. No. You know, like he's making a cool million. Why would he take less?
And you have to think too, in terms of like Curtin's point of view, it's like the team not spending money and not really pushing for that, the title, every year puts his job at the line. It really does, because ultimately the team doesn't win, the fans are going to say, well, you got to fire Curtin. I've heard much more people saying fire Curtin than I've heard get rid of Tanner. I mean,
oh really? I feel like it's the opposite.
You think it's okay? Why do you think it's the opposite? I feel like over the past, I don't know how many years, it's always been close the curtain.
Oh, so, never mind. I'm having like recency bias where like after this, and this is probably a point of conversation too, is voices in the locker room are backing the story and making it, okay, this is not just an unnamed source, but when you have a Jakob Glesnes going out there and posting, you know, you got to do right by the guy who's been here 7.5 years. I'm paraphrasing, so I apologize. Yeah. You can look it up online. You know, the story's true. And I can only imagine to be a fly on the wall in the virtual room that is a WhatsApp chat, right? To be in that team WhatsApp chat and have the story go out. And then, you know, I'm sure some players only finding out then, some players who've known for a little bit. Obviously, everybody's closer in a different way to one another, I'm sure, in that locker room, just like friends, yeah, right? So, sure. When you have players like Glesnes saying stuff like that in the public, someone who is very quiet, very well spoken, at least to us in person, very thoughtful about the words he uses, sure, when he puts something out like that, you know that words matter to him.
And he just got paid by the union too,
and that's the other thing. And I think that's sort of like, you know, if you're thinking about the different things that are crashing at this moment back to back to back, if you're Kai Wagner and you see Elliott, Glesnes, I think Blake also re-signed not too long ago, Martinez. They're getting paid. Why can't he? Right. And that's a different conversation. And I think we have differing thoughts about it. But to have leaders in that locker room going back the story publicly, it's kind of like, man, what bad timing.
It's the worst timing, because it's not like last year where you had such a historic season where you knew this team was just going to roll through the playoffs, which is what they basically, you know, they didn't roll through, but they got through it to the MLS Cup. You don't have the same confidence in this team as you did last year.
Not one ounce.
There's two ways this could go, in my opinion, right? Either A, it's just a big circus in their heads. They can't clearly play and they fall flat first round, second round, etc. Or B, they rally together as players and win it for themselves and win it for Curtin and use it as motivation to take their game next level. Unfortunately, it's probably more of the former rather than the latter, because they're just not healthy. They just haven't playing that well all, you know, consistently all year. And it's going to be because this was such a fun window of Union soccer from the MLS Cup is back till about now. Ramelis is back tournament till about now. It's been a lot of fun for the Union. It's been a really good organization. They've been one of the more highly regarded organizations in the MLS and in North America. And now all of a sudden there's these poor spots of opinion being put on them. And it just feels like if they don't make the MLS Cup this year, it's just gonna be a really sour taste at the end of this era of Union soccer.
And that's very true, Mike. That's a very salient point. But, you know, I'm really interested to hear from, not that they would tell me, and frankly, not sure that I would find it appropriate to ask, but when you think about players on their way out that are not free agents, right? I think a lot of us are already boxing up Julian Carranza, right? Someone who's going to exit, you know, he's had offers. We have the Ty Baribo purchase as insurance to make sure that we have a body in place, etc. What is a Julian Carranza thinking right now, right? When he sees all of this developing.
Yeah. I mean, right? Especially because he knows he's going to get a big, you know, big check somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. And that's it, right? Like what is he thinking? What's going on in his head, et cetera. So it's, to me, it's just,
you know,
so many variables moving.
I was thinking too is that Curtin is also a Philadelphia guy, and if anybody can appreciate the value of treating your players with respect, it's Curtin. So if there was already some sort of like tension between Curtin and Tanner, which we've kind of seen all season from based off his press conferences, you have to then think like Curtin's probably like, man, like this is Philadelphia. You don't treat your players like this in Philadelphia, and that doesn't mean, like I said, bringing him back off a $1 billion contract and everything, and you know, playing him like they did Jason Peters. But you have to think that he at least feels some sort of sympathy for Ali. And you have to think he probably views it a little bit like a fan too, because he understands the way we think. He understands what we're going through. He understands why people tailgate Phillies games at 7 o'clock in the morning when the game's at 8 o'clock. And by the way, they're still winning. So I know Curtin's going to be around for 2 more years, but if this was ever a kind of an inkling for him, like, listen, if I get an offer somewhere else in a year, maybe I'm out the door, because it's not like Tanner's going to have my back. unless you don't think that is how he would think. I mean, it's something to at least process, in my opinion.
Right. I don't know what the relationship is like, right? It sounds like it's somewhat healthy, right, between Jim and Tanner. So there's that. And I think a lot of people are glossing over the reporting from back in July, right, where Tom Bogert had sort of said, hey, it's not announced yet, but yeah, Ernst Tanner signed an extension. So Tanner is technically here to stay for at least one more year. I don't know what type of extension you give a successful sporting director like him, right? Whether you like what he's doing right now or you don't like what he's doing, those are different conversations altogether, but you cannot deny that he's done well in terms of making money for Jay Sugarman, putting butts in seats with the success, but also keeping this roster alive on a shoestring budget, or this franchise alive in a shoestring budget. You cannot deny that.
No, absolutely not. So, Jose, I mean, we can go on this topic, I think, for another hour or so. But besides that, we do have a match on Saturday, and then we get a little bit of a break before the playoffs start. As of right now, the Philadelphia Union sit in third place. They have 55 points. Columbus is at 54. New England is at 52. So if I remember correctly, the goal differential being what it is, the Union would have to lose by 6 to then be hopped over by New England, right?
That's correct. Wouldn't it be 3 because it'd be scoring against one another? So as they gain 3, we lose 3?
You're probably right. Unless it's talking about being... See, that's where math is coming into play here, and I'm not really...
Right, as they score 1, we lose 1 in terms of goal differential. I don't have the table in front of me, but it's either 3 or 6, okay?
Eric, I'm not a math major. For a job. Definitely
no.
Not there.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, he needs to get approval from Don Garber. That was the little asterisk at the end of his exit from MLS. But in terms of it's very likely that the Philadelphia Union will not get scored on 3 unanswered, to me. whether it's 3 or 6, I'm not sure.
JD mentions, I think Curtin eventually goes to U.S. men's national team, where they figure out Berhalter yep. is still hard garbage. And that's the thing. Curtin's contract does kind of coincidentally run right up until the beginning of the World Cup year in 2026. And again, this pushes him to that. Maybe when the opportunity comes, or who knows?
Well, he even said it out loud. JD, and thank you for jogging my memory, but he said it out loud. Yeah, it'd be an honor to be an assistant for the men's national team. I'd be okay with that. And to me, and I know I think we talked about it with Dave, it's kind of like, well, that's totally a sidestep, if not backwards, which whether you see it that way or maybe you take the other route, which is he's just extremely patriotic, wants nation, you know, or represent his country, etc. That's a different conversation altogether. But right. Yeah, it's interesting that the contract does go up to moment in time, though you could argue after the German defeat, not a good look.
Speaking of Germany, you have a very busy tomorrow. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your day tomorrow?
My day is going to be busy.
What was that?
Then I'll be heading out to Lincoln Financial for the Mexico-Germany game, which already has 55,000 tickets sold as of, I think, yesterday or today. So it's going to be a heavily populated area tomorrow with the Phillies and the Flyers going on at relatively the same time within, what, like 2 miles?
I think the Flyers actually got their time pushed up, didn't they?
Well, I would think that between... How long does a hockey game last? That's a good question.
It's 3 20-minute periods. So 60 minutes total. It's about like 2 hours. It's like a basketball
game. Okay. So 6 to 8. And so as the Flyers are ending, baseball and soccer are starting.
Yeah.
That's going to be nuts. That's going to be nuts. That's bananas. But yeah, I'll be there.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. So I'll be there. I'm excited. Have my press credential ready. I have my parking pass ready. I'll be there. So check out my social media. I think I'll be doing some, you know, what's it called? Billy on the street type of interviews, just asking people, you know, why are they there? Who are they supporting? That type of thing. So I'll be putting some fun stuff and I'll be able to talk to some of these players that I've only ever seen on TV out in England or out abroad. So it'll be kind of like a, oh, okay. Sort of taken back. Not that I don't respect our players, but obviously our access is a little bit easier than going to see teams out in England, et cetera.
Aren't you going Saturday to the game too?
I'm not, no longer going, unfortunately, saving my traveling grace with my wife for potentially playoff in case we have to go to Cincinnati.
Oh, you want to make the trip out to Ohio? I might have to come with you. I don't know.
Mike, let me tell you right now. I checked out the dates.
Yeah.
If you pack light, fly out of Philadelphia, Frontier, $68 round trip.
Do you know what dates it possibly fall on, if that were the case?
Yeah, they have. I put the different situations of when it could be the two, because they have it all laid out on MLS.com when the conference finals would be.
Yeah.
$68 round trip doesn't sound so bad when you're in Cincinnati and can get an Airbnb with two, three other people.
I like it, man. Well, listen, the Union have the game on Saturday. I mean, any predictions? I know we kind of have, we don't even really know the lineup is going to come out on Saturday. I know New England might be, they're still vying for a playoff spot. So what do you think the lineup's going to be like on Saturday?
Well, I'm fairly certain that they have a playoff spot secured. It's yes. just whether they wanted Seeding. To be, yeah, whether they wanted to be fourth or potentially between fifth and third, because yep. they're at 52, Union are at 55. So obviously the hopping about can happen. And then you have Columbus going on at the same time or whatever. 50. Are they done actually? Is Columbus done? 34 matches is the season. Now Columbus has a match. I don't know who they play, but yep. yeah. The only teams that have fewer than 33 matches are the Miami and Charlotte's, which they have to face one another. And that was the goofy part, right? Because DC was eliminated despite being in a playoff spot last week because they already played all 34 and everybody else could gain at least a point to win it or get in.
The Red Bull have made a recent surge to the last yeah. playoff spot. So we'll see if they can pull it off.
It's interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting. New England winless in three and just took two goals against Nashville, then three goals against Nashville, three goals against Orlando, and two against Columbus. So in the last three matches, they've let in eight goals. That doesn't look good.
Well, I mean, as you know, Philadelphia Union history, it's like, well, anytime we're playing a team that gives up a lot of goals, we're of course not going to score any. Why would we? Why would that make any sense at all?
Never like mind play on turf.
Yeah, it's like the Eagles playing the Jets. You think they're just going to beat them, and then they just don't. I'm still salty.
There's no throttling. No throttling this weekend, I don't think.
None. So no,
unless it's at the Almany home, I don't know.
I think the lineup will be. I mean, well, who's coming back? Is anybody missing right now for injury or no?
Well, Leon's supposedly back, right? Yes, so and this is the other aspect that I don't want to get too involved in. I really don't, but I don't know the status of Ty Bariba with everything going on in Israel. Right. I'm not sure if he had to go and help as a draftee. Or if his work, you know, professional athlete status keeps him away from that, kind of like how I think Yuming Sun, I think from or the song guy from Tottenham, he got a very, very reduced time that he had to spend with the army because he's done so well as a professional player. So I'm not sure what's going on with Ty Bariba in terms of his Israel duties, if any. So thank you, JD. Columbus plays Montreal. Yeah, and Montreal, I think, is hunting right now, hunting very hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Montreal's hunting. I mean, Leon's the only one coming back. So far, the only minutes that Union players have seen were, up till yesterday, Blake and Lowe played full 90s yesterday, barely beating Haiti, though that field was a cow pasture. You could tell by the ball, the way the ball was bouncing. And then
it was like Mbaisa, the El Salvador pitch when we played
that. Yeah, game. It was bad, man. And then Mbaisa played 4 minutes against Russia. I don't think he was used today. He wasn't even on the roster sheet against Senegal. So I don't know what was up with that. Maybe he was released after Russia. I'm not sure. Yeah. But Gazdag plays before Saturday. Martinez plays tomorrow against Chile, I believe. Hopefully those two come back healthy. Hopefully Gazdag doesn't really play a whole lot selfishly.
He's been playing so much and he's already been dealing with that knee issue.
Yeah, and hopefully Martinez has an excellent game. He was not used against Brazil. I sort of understand that it was a cautionary move in case of cards leading into the Chile game because the Chile-Venezuela rivalry is a little bit stronger. Venezuela getting a tie against Brazil is a miracle, especially when you think about the big dogs there where you have, you know, the top four that are, you know, Argentina, Brazil, throw in, you know, I don't know, you could say Paraguay as of late, et cetera. So it's a battle out there, but hopefully everybody comes back healthy. But I also wonder how's Glesson's feeling, right? What was his practice over the break? Hopefully that soon to be or in the making of a sports hernia has sort of like calmed down a little bit.
Well, I know we had talked about this earlier this year, and we'll wrap it up after this too, since it's been kind of like just a weird show of front office drama. But I know we talked about this earlier the year, you know, we weren't worried about the union making the playoffs. We were worried about the players making the playoffs healthy. Mm. So to your point, it's been a nice little break for us as, you know, content creators. I'm sure some of the players have enjoyed the time off to rest their bodies, to heal up. Especially, I know, just even players like Bueno, right? He's coming off that international injury, the injury that kept him off the international team. And JD mentions, I don't care about athlete status, I believe, especially in the current situation. Israel national team games were all postponed in the last international break, so Brewa might get recalled soon. There you go. Thanks, JD, for that.
Yeah, I knew that they were postponed. I just didn't know where. I literally don't know where physically Ty is. I genuinely have no idea if he's – I don't even know if he lives in Jersey or in Pennsylvania, so I'm not even sure if he's in the country, period.
He's a mysterious guy so far. We don't know much about him. Let me read off the sponsors, and then we'll call it a day. We have let's see here. We go find the sponsors first. Here we go. Allstate Insurance Agency, Deborah Sigler at 6750 Iroquois Trail number three, in Allentown, PA. Specializes in insurance for auto, home, renters, life, and much more. Get a quote today by calling 610-395-6100. Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant. Discover a new favorite by trying their top pizzas in Allentown, plus pasta, salads, calzones, sandwiches, and more. Check out their menu at vinny'spizzarestaurant.com. We have Stuffed the Grills, offering a unique twist on a traditional sandwich shop. They have homemade hot and cold sandwiches, salads, appetizers, and baked goods available for all events at stuffthegrills.com. Manscaped, get 20% off. Apply using the code AATSports via manscaped.com. And the Philly Sports Trips, we already had the New York trip, but we have the Washington trip still. You go to phillysportstrips.com and select Allentown pickup at checkout. Jose, my voice is killing me today. I'm sorry. I try to get through it as best I can. Any last thought before we sign off tonight?
No, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Been a long season. I know we're approaching game 34 of the regular season, never mind the 7 or 8 of Leagues Cup, et cetera, et cetera. So again, thank you for everybody that follows our content, whether it's me individually or us as a group with Mike, you, and Dave. And be on the lookout tomorrow, certainly getting content out for Mexico versus Germany. And then hopefully the conversation I try to have, I try to talk with, and this was foolish on my end, I try to get on a Zoom with Julian Carranza while I was at the Phoenix airport. Here comes a plane from Boston. I kid you not, my terminal went from 5 people to 80. So my connection just went to shit. We were having a great conversation. So hopefully I'm able to stop on at their campus tomorrow, if not find a time this week to continue that. So that'll be a conversation fully in Spanish with subtitles. I have the time to do them this time on like the LBF video, which I apologize. I'm just going to have to move on from that one. But just keep an eye out for content and let's see where we go, man. I'm hoping that this, is it fair to call it a bombshell report?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That report that came out from The Athletic, I hope that it's not, you know, the indication of what this offseason and playoff picture is going to look like, because there's so much shifting and moving going around that and going to happen that it's just, I hope that this is an indicative of what's going to happen.
Yeah, it get a weird bad omen. I mean, listen, it's been fun covering the union for as long as we have now, and it's been only getting better and better because they've been playing better and better.
Yeah.
And now you suddenly get this weird feeling that we could be covering a really shitty team next year if things don't go the right way. So,
well, Mike, there's a good spine there. Let's just hope that the additions to make up for the losses are toe-to-toe.
Agreed. Anyway, appreciate all the comments. I try to get through all of them. I'm a little, like I said, guys, I'm a little off tonight, so I apologize. But otherwise, this is Across the Pitch. That's Jose R. Nunez91 on Twitter and TikTok. I'm same with me as well. Mike Barrera, MBarrera1323 on TikTok and Twitter. I haven't posted on TikTok. I haven't posted on TikTok in like 2 weeks. I have to get back on there. But otherwise, you got Jose's stuff. Wednesday night, we're going to try to interview those SOP board individuals and try to get that out Thursday or Friday. And then we'll be live tweeting the game on Saturday. And then from then on, man, it's playoffs. And then we just push till the end of the year. That's it.
That's unbelievable. We're already there. Rinse, repeat February.
That's right. Go Phillies. Go Union. Have a good night, guys.
See you guys. Good night.